B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge.
What is that?
Mr. Ainge?
Good morning.
Have you ever paddleboarded?
Welcome home, Fred.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sure you miss me a great deal.
Yeah, I don't know who gets a month off of vacation.
Listen, it's 5 weeks. All right, so have you ever paddleboarded?
I have.
Now, did you vomit and have to be towed in by the instructor?
I did not.
Because that happened to me.
Oh, Fred, he's such an athlete.
I've done it a bunch of times, but for some reason the pressure got to me and I swallowed so much salt water that I started vomiting uncontrollably, and then the instructor had to pull me in while the others waited.
Oh, Fred.
That didn't happen to you?
When they brought you in, did they drug test you?
I was clean. I wasn't even hungover. I was clean.
It was a visual drug test, and they just went, yep.
I think they gave me a faulty board. But that's, well, be careful, because it could happen to you, too. And I'll tell you what, it's not very manly, laying there vomiting while someone pulls you in.
That's bad.
Yeah, okay. Not the best. Danny, we've heard Kyrie Irving talk about how, you know, once the playoffs start, the flip is switched and all that. However, they are now looking at a game that's very important. This game on Friday, or tomorrow rather, against the Pacers, now, at least for the time being, determines who's in fourth and who has a home court advantage during that first round. Would you be disappointed if this team shows up on Friday and they put in the type of performance that we might have been seeing over the last week or so, where it does seem like they've taken their foot off the gas a little bit in order to save energy for the playoffs?
Well, so first of all, you know, I don't really believe that you can flip a switch. But I do believe that, you know, things can come together, you know, your health and your concentration and focus can be better. Philly is a very, very good basketball team, and we went in there and had a lead late in the fourth quarter, and we just weren't able to pull it off. We lost a one possession game, and then we had an 18-point lead through 40 minutes of the game. It went into a drought where we couldn't score. And, you know, I don't consider it flipping a switch. Like, there's a lot of really good basketball being played. We just have moments where we have struggled and we've lost leads. And, you know, I'm not diminishing that. I'm just saying our guys have done some really good things in spite of being, you know, in the Philly game, we were three of our key guys weren't playing. I'm excited right now because our team is getting healthy. We haven't had Baines and Horford, you know, in the lineup very much this year. I'm excited about where we could be in playoffs, and not just this game Friday. I think it'd be a fun game on Friday night, but I think that we have 7 fun games to finish the season.
Speaking of Baines and Horford, how did you like the combo of them together the other night?
So I think, you know, Aaron's not quite 100%, and he's a little bit off just because he hasn't played a lot this year, and especially lately he's had some injuries, but I'm excited about it. I think that they stabilized our defense. They're not going to play a ton of minutes together, but they're going to play some, and I think that that helps set an identity and set a tone for our team.
Danny, I would think as a director of basketball operations, and even this goes down to Brad Stevens as the head coach, the number one thing you would want from your team night in and night out is to know what you're going to get from your players. each and every evening. But unfortunately, the one thing that's been consistent about your team has been inconsistency. Is there a level of frustration that it's come to this with the playoffs right around the corner?
Yeah, I mean, it's been an up and down year. No doubt about that. But like I said, I really am optimistic. I know that people just think that that's just a corny line or I have to be, but I don't have to be. And I'm excited about the playoffs. I'm looking forward to it. And I think we're healthier right now, knock on wood, than we have been all season long.
You were talking to Mike Gorman yesterday, and you know, Terry Rozier did like a sit down thing with Chris Forsberg, and he was saying that the team essentially follows the attitude of Kyrie Irving. They look to him, and if he's feeling good, the team usually plays well. And it got us talking about, you know, who is the, even though there's no captains and Brad Stevens has chosen not to have a captain, like, who is the personality on this team that everyone should kind of model themselves after? And Mike Gorman thought it should be Marcus Smart, because despite him doing dumb stuff every once in a while, as we've talked about with the pushing of, you know, Joel Embiid and punching the glass and everything, you never question this guy's heart. Do you believe that maybe giving someone like him, just naming him captain, that might actually help the cohesiveness of this team?
No, I don't think there needs to be named captain. Mike Marcus is a leader of our team, and he has influence, and he inspires our guys by the way he plays at times. And so nobody needs to be named captain. I think that we have a lot of guys in the locker room that have influence and impact on our team and inspire one another. So, you know, Horford is a leader, and Marcus is a leader, and Rozier is a leader, and we have a whole bunch of them. Kyrie, of course, and I'm not worried about any of that. Our guys know each other by now, and consistency. Some of it can be credited to just playing different types of roles, and the nature of the game. I mean, it's just if you have the ball a lot, like Jason Tatum scores 21 points in the first half the other night, and then they make an adjustment. They start giving him a lot more attention, and Marcus Smart, now Horford, carries in the second half. And that's the kind of team we need to be, where we just need to rely on a lot of different guys.
Danny, you guys have unfortunately let a late lead get away in Charlotte and lost recently. And after the game, Kyrie Irving, because Kemba Walker had such a big game, they asked him about how Kemba went off in the fourth quarter. And he said, quote, "We probably should have trapped him a little bit more like every team does in this league, but we didn't. Torches us every time we play him, so it's no surprise." It seemed like he was calling out the head coach there. Did you hear those comments, and what are your feelings about them?
I did hear it, and I'm not, I mean, it's not that uncommon. Guys get frustrated, and maybe that was the first thing that came to his mind, is we should have done something different with Kemba. But Kemba, I think, hit three threes in transition. We didn't do a good job of stopping them in transition. We have defended Kemba pretty well this year after the first game of the season and up through that game. So for 2.5 games, we had done a good job with the defensive plan that we had. And then he scored. They were switching. They were seeking out matchups. And Kemba had, I think, 7 points in that fourth quarter that, you know, maybe a different strategy. But the bottom line is we scored 5 points in the last 8 minutes and 20 seconds. You know, that's not like our team at all. Like, I think that, I mean, if we score 10 points, we win that game. And, you know, we should score 20 points with the 8.5 minutes left in that game. So, anyway, I don't think that has anything to do with anything other than a player's frustration.
All right, so you're watching the tournament, I would take it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun.
All right, who do you like?
Well, I mean, Duke is the best team. Gonzaga is a very talented team, but it's been fun. I mean, obviously, Duke just got away with the skin of their teeth the other day. That was very fortunate, and that's what makes college tournament so fun.
I don't care for their fans. I was there in Turks and Caicos, and I was watching it on TV, and I was expressing my belief that Zion Williamson will not be anything overly special as a pro. And then I had a guy, I said to him, you know, I'm trying to have a spirited conversation. There's a lot of people at the bar. Mm-hmm. And I said, hey, buddy, did you go to Duke? And he goes, I'm not your buddy. He goes, nobody likes a hater. Do you think that's necessary, Danny, that kind of dialogue while you're on vacation?
No, that's a little over the top. That's a little bit too intense. We need to relax. It's fun. It's basketball. But what I want to know is Rich's Michigan State team. How are they going to do?
It's Fred's.
My team's Georgia Tech, Fred? And they're nowhere to be found.
Yes, I'm a Michigan State guy.
You are the Okay, so you're Michigan State guy, and Michigan State, I'm a little worried about them.
I'm a little worried about them, too. I'm worried about them against LSU. I think LSU could beat Duke. So I very very long, very athletic LSU. I don't like that matchup. Michigan State very banged up.
I don't think they can. I don't think LSU can. But Michigan State is. I'm just worried about all their injuries.
Yep, they lost Langford.
They've had an amazing year though.
Hey, okay, I'll ask you this: what did you? Because I don't know if this generated any press here, but what did you think of Izzo yelling at Henry?
That's just who Izzo is. Izzo is, listen, there's different ways that coaches hold accountability. And you see a Tony Bennett, who's a calm, mild-mannered demeanor guy who holds his players accountable in a much different way than Izzo. Izzo is very passionate, wears it on his sleeve. I love Izzo. He's fun to watch. His players love him. And the players that have all played for him have nothing but the greatest things to say, and they have great relationships. So I have absolutely no problem with it.
I didn't like the narrative that he was, like, lunging at Henry and that he had to be restrained. It seemed like he was angry and that Cassius Winston, being a leader, was able to put his hand on his shoulder and, like, calm down, sit down, like you're losing your mind. See, I looked at it as kind of a positive, and maybe because I'm rose-colored glasses, but it seemed to me that it's like a counter message. Like, he's not attacking a kid. I think that he gives, the guy he's talking to is a freshman. I thought that letting and I can't remember the other guy's name, but letting a senior in Cassius Winston kind of calm him down shows that the players have the respect of Izzo.
No doubt. I liked that scene. I thought it was, it was good basketball at its best. And I love the intensity of Izzo. And I think that spreads throughout his program every year. And that's why his teams are tough-minded teams that usually rise to the occasion in the big games.
Do you think players are too coddled now? I mean, when you hear complaints like that, like how can you rip into a player in the middle of a game? He's just a kid. Do you think that there's some players who come into the NBA and they're just not ready for the intensity?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I think there's a lot of players that come into the NBA and they don't know how hard it is. They watch it on TV and they think, oh, you know, I can do that. And then they get to the NBA, and boy, these players are way better than they ever imagined. There's no doubt about that. They don't know how hard it is to be great, and how good players are that you don't even know about. Players that are in the G League and players that get called up on 10-day contracts. They have no idea. These are former first ballot Hall of Famers. I mean, first ballot or first round draft picks.
Right.
And all about college All-Americans. So, yeah, no, it's, that's why young guys are inconsistent usually.
Well, we did that thing with Scalabrine, the Scallenge, where when we would have him on, and obviously he was great on the air, we'd have people call in and say, oh, Scal sucks. He's the last guy on the bench. And we asked him, hey, would you want to play these guys one-on-one, to see how you do? And he just murdered the four people that volunteered. They were like guys who were stars in their small colleges.
There was a guy who played at Syracuse.
His guy who played at Syracuse. There was like the kings of their rec league, and he just murdered them. And I don't think people understand the last guy on the bench in the NBA, that guy's guarding Kevin Garnett at practice every day. I mean, the guy is pretty damn good to get to the point where he's at.
This guy was a terrific player in the NBA. I saw Scal have 29 and 12 against Troy Murphy, who was, making a ton of money in the NBA one night. He had a chance to start in place of Kenyon Martin. We went on a 9-2, I think, winning streak with Scal replace KG, and after injury. I mean, Scott was a terrific player. He really knows how to play. Very underrated. That's what I mean. A lot of college kids, and I know fans, but the college kids that are coming into the game have no idea how good the players are at the end of the bench.
Lunch pail guy, too, right? Showed up, worked hard.
He still does.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
He's still working out twice a day like a moron.
No, three times a day, Mike Gorman told him. Scal works out 3 times a day.
He's got obviously a hole in his life.
Dude, you're a broadcaster. Get fat.
Yeah.
Scal has a tough life.
Very lonely, obviously. Yeah. All the time. All right. Well, Danny Ainge, thank you so much. It's interesting your take on Izzo. I found the... I mean, there's people that want him fired, and
yeah, that was crazy. I mean, they love him. The players love him, so who cares?
I mean, he yelled. It's just ridiculous. Drew McGarry wrote an article that made me want to throw up. All right, Danny Ainge, watch out on those paddle boards. They'll make you throw up.
All right, take care of yourself. All right. See you guys.
See you later.
There you go. Yeah, Drew McGarry wrote it. It's not cool. And then he compared it to yelling at your children. Like, it's never a good idea to yell at your children.
What?
Look, if you don't want to play for Izzo, don't play for him.
But they all want to play for him. I mean, how many four-year guys do you get out of that program?
Yeah, I mean, it's
they want to stick around. They want to play for him. And you know what? He didn't have a problem with it either.
I don't get how it's bullying. Like, the term bullying is thrown around so much. I mean, he was lunging at him. No, I was watching it live. He wasn't, and this isn't rose-colored glasses. He was not lunging at him. He got up, and Cassius Winston and the McQuaid, I think is his name, I can't remember. They put his hands on him, and he sat down. But I like McGarry too. But oh boy, with that article, it's like yelling at your kids, and yeah. Then in the comments, people were comparing it to all kind. Oh, it's the reason that the country's the way it is now, and it's so divided, is because this kind of behavior is accepted. Relax. And coach, listen, it's not Bobby Knight throwing the dirty toilet paper at kids.
Sure.
All right.
By the way, we got Dan Roach coming.
Yeah, all right. Let's not waste any more time. Danny Roach is out there in Seattle where he has not been sleeping. He is indeed sleepless in Seattle, except now he's just communicating with a baseball instead of someone on the internet. All right. We'll have that for you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Danny Ainge is the president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Danny Ainge. Mr. Ainge.
Good morning.
Have you ever paddleboarded?
Welcome home, Fred.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm sure you miss me a great deal.
Yeah. I don't know who gets a month off of vacation.
Listen, it's 5 weeks. All right. So, have you ever paddleboarded?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
Yeah, it's great to have with us a Red Sox poet laureate. Dick Flavin, great to see you, Dick.
Good to be aboard. Good to be aboard.
We understand that you have a brand new poem.
I have an opening day poem.
Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
The long snowbound winter casts a dark pall till one day an umpire hollers play ball. Then skies start to brighten, blue displaces gray. Baseball springs eternal, it's opening day. The birds start to sing. The trees are in bloom. The umpire's dusting home plate with his broom. It's a brand new beginning, something we all cheer. It's baseball's way of Happy New Year. And then there's another line in there. And baseball playing, it's a Happy New Year. And it goes on and on. Whatever.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No, not very good. Not very good.
.985 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich.
Dan just said it in my headphones. I miss this song.
It's Wallach playing Take Me Out to the Ball Game on his clarinet, which he took for so many years in high school. Dan Roach is kind enough. He's over there at opening day evening, going on over there in Seattle. He's been on Instagram a lot. He's been putting things up. He's been just sitting around the field taking some
panoramic
video.
Tweeted out the opening day lineup, which was public knowledge, but he tweeted it out anyway an hour ago.
Danny, how's it going?
Hi, Rich. Shut up, Wallach.
Hey, Danny. How many hours have you slept last night?
Not many, to be honest with you. I was the only one in the ballpark, me and a photographer, live at 11 o'clock last night, your time back there. They were preparing for the pregame ceremonies, but other than that, it was just us. So I kind of wanted to stay there, to be honest with you, and just kind of take a nap in the dugout, wake up, and enjoy the day, but didn't came back. I slept for maybe 3 or 4 hours, and I've been up just kind of, you know, fussing around, having a good time, and in full uniform, ready to go.
Now, did you not sleep in all honesty because of the time change or because of your excitement?
Both. You know what I mean? It's just like I knew it's due. You ever have that situation where you're getting up and you know it's a fun day the next day and you fall asleep. It takes a while to fall asleep and then you wake up and you're like, uh-oh. And I looked at the clock and I had only slept like 2 or 3 hours and I said, I feel good. I feel great. And that's kind of where I've been at ever since. So.
It was like It was like you the day before the opening of Toy Story Land over at Disneyland, right?
Oh yeah, that was a great place. To be honest with you, the Slinky Dog Dash is the best ride I've been on at Disney World by far.
Wow, right, that's a pretty that's a high bar. My goodness,
I know.
Wow. Well,
it's right up there with Splash. Splash will always be my favorite.
I love how you call it the cool name, not Splash Mountain. Splash.
Splash. He's in a Guns N' Roses cover band. All right, so how does this song go on Splash Mountain?
Well, you do this to me all the time, Fred. I had it in my head. It's not that when you come off, it's the zippity-doo-dah, zippity-a, right? When you're coming through after you go over the top and down and splash and everything else, that's the one coming through.
How do you do?
Yes, how do you do? Pleased to meet you. How do you do?
All right, so what time do you plan on getting to the field today, and when will the next person arrive?
No, I'll be over there at not till late because we're not allowed in. They don't open the media gate until 5 hours before the game, so I'll be there about 6 hours before the game and hanging out and hoping to get in and getting set up and get it ready to do our work, early work and ready for the game.
How are you feeling about this year's team? I mean, they were able to retain most of the players and except for they don't have a closer, but you know, a lot of people are picking the Yankees to win the division. Yeah. How are you feeling about this team?
Well, I like the Sox. I think that they're at least is good enough to get to the ALCS. And then after that, I always go back to what Theo said years ago, that, you know, you just need to be one of those four teams that gets in and then anything can happen. And we saw that last year. I'm very curious. I know motivation-wise, Alex Cora, the way he was talking yesterday, made it sound like this group that is together and stayed together, like you mentioned, Rich, has a chance to do something special. that will be remembered forever, and that would be to be the first team to repeat since the Yankees of the, you know, the 98, 99, 2000 campaign. And he also mentioned that this he goes, I don't want to talk about next year, but he, you know, hinted strongly that certain guys won't be here, so it won't be that same group. And I think that's what he's trying to say to this group this year, is basically stay within the moment of each day like we've done over the last year, and now get to this year and do the same things we did last year, because this may be the one chance you have to do something that makes you get on a baseball lore forever. So I think that they'll be good. I think guys have a chance offensively to be even better than they were. And I'm talking about a guy like Rafael Devers, who seems to be primed for a big year, is batting third today. I think Jackie Bradley Jr., the way he hit in spring training in the second half of last year in the postseason, has a chance to be even that much better. And then, you know, pitching-wise, we saw the rotation of what they've done, and they've added Eovaldi. They should be good. And, again, everybody questions the bullpen, and that's going to be the million-dollar question probably all season long, like it was last year, too.
Are you worried about the workload Eovaldi had to go through in last October affecting him this year?
It may, and I think that's why they've been very slow with him and very slow with the other pitchers. I'm just curious to see how he lasts as a starter, more so not necessarily based on last year's postseason, but just over the course of his career. He's never really been able to stay healthy for a full campaign. I'm curious to see how that plays out. And the one thing that people talk about the bullpen with me, the impression that I got in talking with Cora and the people down there in spring training, is they're very confident in the organization from top to bottom. And that starts with, you know, Dombrowski bringing in the players and his staff, but also then to Cora and then to the pitching coach Dana Lavangi, and then to Brian Bannister, who works tirelessly with the spin rates and the, you know, the new technology that they have. They feel like they have enough arms in this organization to get the job done on a nightly basis. I think we're all curious to see how, whether it's Barnes as the established closer or Brazier, or they mix in different guys, but they are very confident. Alex Cora is extremely confident that they'll get the job done with this bullpen.
How did you finagle a selfie with Alex Cora?
At the baseball winter meeting, we were talking about, he said to me that he wanted to get his picture. He had a selfie with Brady. Remember the selfie that he took with Brady on the field?
No.
When they were honored in Foxborough. He took one just before game time with Brady in full helmet. And he said he wanted now one with Brady coming to Fenway Park for the home opener. And then we were talking back and forth, and he said, you know what, let's just take a selfie. So he said, why don't you and I take a selfie? We'll put that out there, too.
He asked you for a selfie?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay. Was it like dinner for schmucks?
No. No, it wasn't like that.
Did you guys have a good laugh afterwards?
Yeah, very good, very good laugh. Cora's as good a human being as I've been around in the game of baseball. And the amazing thing to me is like, you know, we all have our passion for, you know what we do, and Rich, it's the, you know, the Marvel movies and all that, the Star Wars and
Marvel,
yes, it's like the Cookie Puss and everything, and Fred, it's Guitar Fest and stuff like that. But his passion for the game is beyond anything I've ever seen. Like 24/7, he'll talk the game with anybody and everybody, and he's always upbeat, always in a good mood. And just loves the game, and he's just a great guy to be around. And I think his personality is infectious to this baseball team, and it's fun. So I enjoy him immensely.
All right, so Dan, I'm looking forward to the season, obviously, and I'm glad that opening day is today. However, there's a lot of people who are like me that it just takes a while to truly get excited until the playoffs are over for the Celtics and the Bruins. And just this morning, I'm feeling that something's missing. Is there anything you can tell me that might possibly get me more excited for the beginning of Red Sox season?
Well, do you want my spiel? Is this what you're talking about now, Rich? Is this where
we're
going
with that? Give me the spiel, baby. Come on. Kickstart the season.
All right. I think the beauty of what happens is that everybody starts 0-0 today, right? The Red Sox came off an historic season, 108 regular season wins, and then they did something in the postseason that nobody felt that they could do. Hey, they're playing the Yankees, no chance. They're playing the Astros, no chance. They're playing the Dodgers, they're done. You look at this team and what they were able to accomplish last year, most of them are back. And the beauty of it is that it just didn't start. It didn't start the day after the World Series. It didn't start. It starts today. The beauty of it is that you get a journey of 162 games, and you can say what you want, Rich, about the Celtics. You can say what you want about the Bruins. And yes, they're great. They're fun to watch, the playoff runs. But if you put your heart and soul into it from day one, the joy you get back will be tenfold, a hundredfold, a millionfold, because you step into that journey with the rest of the ball players, and you take yourself in, and you just enjoy the day, the beauty of it. If you go 0 for 4, you know what? There's a game tomorrow. It's not like football where there's a game next week. It's not like basketball or hockey where you got to wait 2-3 days. You struggle at the plate. You go 0 for 4. You have a bad game. You make an error. You get up the next day, and let's see what he's got. Let's see what Mookie can do after going 0 for at the plate. Let's see how Sale bounces back from a tough start. Let's see how Brazier comes out of the bullpen. Can he do it again? Sure. That's the questions that you like to watch, so that when you have that base build up starting today, you build up a base so that when it comes October and that journey continues, you know everything, every intricate part, every weakness, every strength, and why Cora's doing this and why he's doing that. And you're right there sitting in that manager's seat, watching the games at home, watching the games at Fenway Park. That's the beauty of it. So start today, 162. It's with you every day. You put it in your pocket. You say, baseball is back. Baseball has returned. Love it. Feel it. Squeeze it. Feel the passion. And just enjoy everything that comes with 162.
So you put your hand in your pocket, and then you love it and squeeze it?
Ah, Fred, don't ruin it.
You just said that you put your hand in your
love
pocket.
It, squeeze it. Fondle it. Taunt
it. Talking the baseball. Baseball that I have in my bag right here.
Play a little bit of pocket pull. All right. Well, Danny.
Dan, I think you got me. You got me.
Dan Roach,
I'm feeling it,
gentlemen.
I'm feeling a little bit more.
This is your day, Dan. It is. This is your day.
And it's a miracle your company let us talk to you.
All right.
So, Dan, enjoy yourself. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, I'm throwing out the first pitch today. You'll see me on TV, so.
All right. Sounds great.
See you, fellas.
See you later. Man. You know, hold it in your pocket, rub it, touch it, fondle it.
That was not the good way to end it. All right, Rich, what is in the stack?
Oh, we got the final running time on the new Avengers movie. Your ass better not need to use the bathroom.
God.
All right, so we'll find out all about that here in the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is a public service announcement from 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Think of your family, your friends, and then call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Quit smoking, not just for yourself, but for the ones you love and love you. Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on? What have we not gotten to?
I hope you like action heroes and Superman, because it has just been announced the running time for the new Avengers film. The longest Marvel movie of all time, as Dan Roach referred to it as.
Marvel, yes.
Have you seen this yet, Fred? The
no,
running time?
I have not.
Take a guess.
2 hours and 45 minutes.
Higher.
3 hours.
3 hours and 2 minutes.
Oof.
3 hours and 2 minutes.
Well, this is the culmination of like 20 Marvel movies, right?
I mean, listen, when Marvel knows what they're doing, and apparently they said they didn't make it any longer, like not 1 minute longer than it absolutely needed to be. I was thinking about the amount of pressure that this film has. Like, I mean, you ended on such a, like, an insane cliffhanger that if this movie isn't unbelievable, people are going to just... you know what it is? It's the ending of Lost. They're right now faced with a huge task. Yeah. Everything leading up to this moment has been, dude, this is amazing. You better get yourself out of this.
And if so this is it.
So, apparently it is, because a lot of the main actors are saying, like, they've been putting things on Twitter, like, we're done.
The contracts are up. I mean,
there's certain characters that will continue on, like Black Panther. They're making another one. I know that the Spider-Man, there's one that's coming out this summer. However,
how is that possible?
What do you mean?
Didn't both characters die at the end of the last one?
But this movie's going to come out before those do. So,
well, at the end of the last Avengers movie, didn't Spider-Man and Black Panther both die?
Yeah, but
I'm sorry, Nick. I spoiled it. I apologize for the five people that haven't seen it.
So you don't think they're coming back?
How?
Well, I mean, Spider-Man's obviously coming back.
Oh, a goblet of fire.
I thought they were dead. I believe what I saw. They faded away into dust.
Once again, they are faced with just an enormous task that if they blow this ending, people are going to look back and think of this as lost. They're going to go, you set all of this up for garbage. Because I can't think of a film in a long time that has had this much pressure to not suck. So you got 3 hours and 2 minutes to not suck. You better do it. You're going to get my money. I mean, without a doubt. You won't get my money because I'm going to see that son of a bitch as soon as the screening happens. No one's spoiling that thing for me. This is one of the few that I'm like, I really am kind of curious how they're going to do this. And I just have a feeling that it's going to... I don't know how you could possibly deliver. They have, up to this point. All the Marvel movies have been pretty damn good. Miss Marvel wasn't that great, Captain Marvel.
Did you see The Dirt?
No, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I think I'm going to watch it this weekend.
Yeah, I watched.
Did you get to watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard it's pretty good. I heard it's pretty good. They had to cut a lot out of the book, obviously, because it's a two-hour movie.
Oh, like when Nikki Sixx admitted to raping a girl in the book? Have you seen that excerpt come out?
You know what's weird? I don't even remember him doing that in the book.
I don't remember him doing it in the book either, but he did, and now, like, that was overlooked, and now it's... He's gone back and says that he never said it to Neil Strauss.
Well, I heard the one thing about this movie is that with all the stuff that's been going on, Me Too-wise and everything, it just seems even 10 times more outrageous what they did back in the day.
Yeah.
It
starts with a Tommy Lee getting a girl to do something over a long distance. I'll explain to you after.
Okay, because I can't even imagine what that is. Over a long distance? Like she's like a different city or something?
No. She's right there with him. But
okay. All right. I think I know exactly what you're talking about. But even though I don't remember that in the story.
I don't think it is in the story. But it was good. I mean, I watched it all in one sitting, which is all you can ask for.
Well, you want to know what keeps you relevant? Talking like the kids. Have you heard this Toledo newscast that just came out yesterday?
I have not.
All right. So this is a Toledo news show. And they're, you know, like your morning Joe, and they're on and they're talking about some tests that are coming up with the local high schoolers. And they said, you know what? We're going to keep this show hip. Let it roll.
Good morning, TPS students. It is testing week and it's time to slay all day.
Yeet. Stay woke, beyond fleek, and get that Gucci breakfast.
Goals! Say bye, Felicia, to that testing stress. Weather's gonna be turnt, right, Chris?
Yes! Toledo weather gonna be V-lit during testing week.
This sounds like EEI about a year after we launched. Like, you guys gotta be hip like those guys across the street. Social media, man.
Dale was on fire that time, I tell you. Well,
all the time. We need rock and roll music beds. We gotta get lit.
All that, when Dale's like,
skeet, 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 skeet. I was watching that Bruins game last night, and oh, skeet, 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 skeet. Oh! They got what?
Lady Antebellum crushed it.
Don't mind if I give you two fingers of a 12-year-old rye. Mm-hmm. I'll gladly trade you Tuesday for five toes today.
A hundo P chance of success. You've got this, kids. Steve, how about that traffic? Are we looking better than we're talking turn, FOMO, won't be an issue. No traffic problems around any TPS schools to keep you from taking those tests.
No, listen, now I want to smoke crack.
You've turned me to the crack.
You've turned me to the crack, Jack.
So things are going pretty darn cool. It just reminds me of when Creed from The Office showed up with the dyed black hair. Because sometimes you got to ride the bull.
Yeah. Yes. That is, I've seen every Office now again. A bit of a fall off after Carell left.
You know, I had never seen the episode where Jim and Pam got married. And I immediately wrote it off before I watched it because the one part of the show I couldn't stand was the relationship between Jim and Pam. That episode is excellent.
Yes.
Like it's one of the better ones. Like I was crying laughing. That's the one where Andy tears his
nutsack, and then that's the one where they get rid of Kevin's shoes.
Oh yeah, right. He puts his feet in the ice machine.
Yeah,
just like to cool it down.
They won't give Kevin his shoes back at the front desk.
Yeah, and then you find out that Dwight Schrute is like the ultimate ladies' man.
Yes,
just shows up with a Three Wolf Moon shirt. And he's just like. Just crushing it.
Yes.
And then ignoring the women the next day. That was a great episode.
Yep.
So Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, they're all in their sophomore years right now. And ESPN asked 18 coaches and executives from across the league the same question. Given the choice, how would you rank Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, and Jason Tatum moving forward? 1, 2, 3.
When was it asked?
This was asked. Well, it just came out. Yesterday.
Okay, so within the last couple of weeks.
Yep, it would be within the last couple of weeks. And who do you believe got the most first place votes for Ben Simmons, Donovan Mitchell, or Jason Tatum?
I don't think it's Tatum.
Donovan Mitchell.
I was going to say Simmons.
I would have said Donovan Mitchell. As a matter of fact, if I had to rank it, I would say Donovan Mitchell first. Ben Simmons, first place with 9 first place votes. However, it's kind of strange. It then goes in second place, Donovan Mitchell. And in third place, Jason Tatum gets 3 first place votes. However, it's kind of weird. Ben Simmons got the most third place votes as well. So you either love him or you think he's in first.
It all has to do with whether or not you think he can afford to keep playing the way he's playing for the next decade and not evolve into a guy who can knock down a 15-foot shot. I mean, he can't knock down a 15-foot shot. But the thing is, there aren't many 6'10" point guards.
And that are wide, too.
Yeah, and the other part of it is, in today's day and age of switching defenses in the NBA, there aren't many forwards that can stay with him either. So, I mean, for now, he can still drive to the basket until a new era of athlete comes in 3 or 4 years that look a lot like him. And then what is he going to do?
How could you play his position for this long, for like 2 years, and not have made a 3-point shot?
Because he's bigger than everybody else. He hasn't had to take a 3.
But, I mean...
He's 0 for 14, I think.
Hang on, you can't say he hasn't had to take a 3.
He hasn't had
You've got centers who have had to learn how to take a 3 in this league.
He hasn't. Well, centers can't put the ball on the floor and go to the basket like
he's
him.
He's the same size as a lot of centers.
Yeah, well,
and centers who switch out on him can't stay with him after he blows by them.
So he's the only guy in the NBA who doesn't have to learn how to
shoot. He's the only 6'10", 6'11" point guard, yeah.
Okay, but as I was saying, even centers who are that big are learning how to shoot threes.
I understand
they have
that, but he has the ability to drive by people his size. He hasn't had to take long shot, and he can just back a shorter guy down and shoot over him.
I'm sure that they're actively trying to work on that shot. He just seems a little tentative. All right, let's break. And then when we come back, we can find out everything that's going on with Zolak and Bertrand.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Hi there, Scott Zolak.
Back.
Been a long time.
Turn the radio on today. I'm like, what the hell? They must be playing with them reruns from summer.
I disappointed a lot of people.
Like, I heard Fred's voice. I'm like, wow, it's a new peppy voice.
People
energized.
People
relaxed.
They love Teddy Johnson. They love Adam Jones. They're a little upset right now.
How embarrassed of your wife was you on your trip?
How embarrassed of my wife?
No,
was
how embarrassed
I?
Was your wife of you on your trip?
She had done enough over the trip where I think I could take a
did she
swing
not,
on that one.
She'd like had instances where she probably almost knocked her teeth out.
No, I won't get into it, but no.
So you guys were alone, huh?
Well, yeah, but when you're at a place like that where you're alone, you end up becoming friends with a bunch of people.
No, you don't.
We did. It was the first time in my life on a trip I made an effort to talk
really?
To people.
Wow. Yeah.
Met a couple that was getting
married. But then, like,
married.
You got to go eat with them and stuff after that.
I'm a nice man. I mean, I let him know I was an ass man pretty much right off the bat. I didn't want any secrets.
It happened to us in Greece. And that's like the one time, like, we met people when we went out.
And, like, we're going to get naked at Paradise Beach. And somebody came running over from Boston. Hey, what's going on? And, like, phew, good thing I didn't pop it. And then we ended up being really good friends with them.
Oh, good.
Yeah, everyone there's out? People from Boston coming up to you anywhere in the world you go now.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere. Bostonians are nuts.
And they're all very familiar
it's
with the
station.
It's
good to have you back, man.
Good to see you, buddy. I'm not. Well, I'm here until August.
He's turned into Santa Claus a little bit. It's white beard. Wow.
The sun will do that to a man.
I don't think it's the sun. Fred Claus. I like that, Dan O'Brien. Fred Claus.
That's a movie.
It's called The Movie.
There's a movie called Fred Claus. It's Vince Vaughn.
Oh, my God. That's right.
He's Fred Claus, the brother of Santa Claus, I believe.
One of the worst Christmas movies ever.
Yes, yes. Without a doubt.
Oh, I think I saw one. 10 minutes of that. I can't watch this.
They call this the Hemingway. You know, that's just how we roll fishing. Swapping tails, going to Cuba, shooting ourselves.
We should do a station fishing trip. Like rent one of those big tuna boats.
I'll do it.
Wallock over.
I'll do it at any point you want
to.
You
have seasick walk?
No.
Never mind. And
right. I could put you on a boat that would get you seasick. All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone, enjoy yourselves. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.